This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here with my sister and co-pilot, Mary.
What's up, everybody?
And we are here this week to talk about The Office again. And this week we'll be covering Season 4, Episodes 3 and 4, Launch Party, and Money. Mm-hmm. However, before we jump into that, let us go over what we covered last week, Bear.
Absolutely. So, we opened up Season 4 with Episode 1, Fun Run, where Michael accidentally hits Meredith with his car, ends up trying to do a fun run to benefit rabies awareness, and, laughter ensues.
Yes.
Then, we had Dunder Mifflin Infinity.
Which is the new operating system, or the website.
The new website for Dunder Mifflin, which WizKid Ryan Howard developed. Yeah. And it just, I mean, it was funny.
It's funny.
Michael drove his car into a lake.
That sucked. Michael went on a crusade against technology, basically.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the crux of that episode.
I think, that's essentially it.
And not much going on with Jim and Pam, which is nice, I think.
God.
No, because it needs room to breathe. It's new. It's fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think we described them as Todd and Margo from Christmas Vacation last week. Like, that couple that's too cool.
I don't know, Margo.
The couple that's too cool, you know what I mean?
But I really like how these two episodes reflected them. So let's jump right into Season 4, Episode 3, Launch Party.
Yes.
Take it away, dude.
So the cold open, Michael is doing a meeting in the conference room, and everybody looks like they're like wrapped in attention, mm-hmm. like paying attention to him. And he's like saying nonsense. Like,
he
thinks that they're into him, so he's like getting more absurd with his ideas and that. But what they're really watching is the screensaver on the computer in the room. And it's
TV.
It's like one of those, like in high school, they'd roll them out on the wheels. I don't know if they do this anymore in high school, but they had like the AV thing.
Yep. And you were so excited in elementary school when you saw one of those bad boys.
Oh, God. You like, movie day. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck. It was going back to those days. But like the DVD player would have a screensaver thing on it, and it would be a box bouncing.
Yeah. It reminds me of something like Windows 98 would have.
Yeah. It's just like a screensaver. And it's a box that bounces all over the screen, but it never fits perfectly in the corner.
Yep.
It always bounces right before it goes into the corner. So they're all waiting because they think one day it's going to happen. And this day it actually does. And they all cheer and clap. They're high-fiving. They got to see it.
What is really funny about this, though, is working in an office, like little dumb things like this really do, like,
unite everyone.
Yeah, everybody's just like, I want to see it. Like, I need to see it so badly.
It's the most mundane thing in the world.
Yeah.
But it's huge.
It's fantastic.
And Michael, like, when they all get up, Michael's like, yeah, I knocked it out of the fucking park. Like, he thinks he's the man. So that's a cold open. The show proper opens, and Michael makes an announcement. He's going to New York for the launch party for Dunder Mifflin Infinity, the new website.
Mm-hmm.
He does a talking head where he says, each branch will have remote launch parties connected via webcam, but he will be with the VIPs in New York City, the very important people.
Yes.
So he reads a memo out loud to the office saying the website will be the best salesman by 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And Dwight takes
it
umbrage.
As a challenge.
Yeah, he takes umbrage with this. Like, he will not be beaten by a computer. And, like, when they show Dwight, he's like, unshaven.
Dude.
Like, he's got stubble.
He's had a rough week. He didn't look this bad when he quit. No, he's unemployed.
He looks like one of those homeless bums that Batman beats up. Like, he really does not look put together.
No.
So Kelly pipes up and she says, does the memo say if Ryan is seeing anyone?
Aww.
And at this point, Dwight challenges the website.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I will outsell it. And Angela doesn't think he can do it. And they get into like this little...
Yeah, she's like, give up.
Yeah.
Like, never going to happen.
Yeah, Dwight, I don't care. Like, then it gets to that point. He's like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And they're just like going back and forth. And Dwight says, Pam in a talking head says, they've both been very unpleasant. They're very unpleasant people, but it hasn't been good lately since Dwight Mercy killed her cat.
I love that. Dwight Mercy killed Angela's cat.
So very matter of fact. So we get a Ryan talking head. He's got his feet on a desk.
Wait, did you miss the whole Meredith part? Walking over to Jim?
Oh, shit, that's the first thing I fucking
had. Yeah, I was going to say,
how
did you miss Meredith Palmer pulling up her fucking dress?
I put it with the cold open. That's my problem. So Meredith goes to Jim's desk, and she asks him to sign her pelvic cast. So she lifts up her dress and Jim like signs her groin.
But no, this has been called out before. I've seen it all over online, but I never really like looked at it while I was watching. He signs John Krasinski.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's a big K in there.
Yeah, I was watching that. I was like, that's not Jim. Mm-hmm. But he signs it and she puts it down and she says, I'm going to look at this later.
Yeah.
Like, she can't masturbate.
Yo, she's
with that
hot
cast.
For Jim.
With that cast, she can't masturbate.
Oh, my
so
God.
So, like, looking at this is, like, the next best thing.
Oh.
Jim was inches away.
He was, like, I felt bad for him. Like,
yeah,
I thought
he
was going to call, like, a suicide helpline.
He had PTSD after this. Like, because he's just staring. And Michael's talking, and Jim is still
staring. Yeah, he's, like, scarred.
Off. He's, like, it was almost like he felt an energy emanating from it. So, Ryan's doing a talking head here, and he's got his feet up on a desk, and he's talking about the website, and then a voice yells at him to get out, and the camera zooms it out, and it's Thomas Dean's desk?
Yeah.
Who's that? Did you?
I have no idea.
See, I wanted to, like, Google it, because I'm like, maybe that's, like, an inside joke, like one of the producers or something like that.
Oh, maybe.
But I'm lazy, and I didn't do it.
I didn't
but then
either.
He goes back to his desk, and he's cutting a promo, basically,
yeah.
Talking about the website, and he's all, like, jacked up. He's
Yo,
very excited
he
about
is, he's like, talking fast. I don't know. The website. It's going to be the biggest thing in the world.
We're selling paper, but we don't want to be the Apple. Like, he's like doing this whole thing. And, you know,
Apple's in the air. It's in the cloud. It's like, what?
He's such a twerp. So
he is.
We go back to the office, and Andy is setting up a scoreboard for Dwight versus the computer.
Mm-hmm. It's a whiteboard.
And every time Dwight gets a sale, he wants Andy to go out to his car and get a bear horn. They're going to fire off a bear horn with every sale.
Which, I mean, can we just talk about Dwight? Okay, go out to my trunk. You'll see mini pelts.
Yeah, animal pelts.
Under the smallest one, you'll find
T-bird.
A box.
Dwight, the stuff we learn about Dwight in these two episodes, like, we don't learn about him, but we see more about his private life.
Exactly.
It's fucking awesome.
Dude,
it's
amazing. Total serial killer material.
Oh, yes.
But
well, this
amazing.
Man is a pervert. So Angela is now with Phyllis, and they're setting up the launch party, but the banner says lunch party.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela's, like, kind of demeaning and angry. Like,
kind
to,
of?
To an, like, a degree not that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, this is a whole new level of
she's horrid, like Karen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the old
she's
meme.
Really mean.
And when I say Karen, I don't mean Karen Filippelli, by the way. Just talking about, like, the lady who asked to see a manager. You
yeah,
know,
like
yeah,
the
like the
mega Karen.
Yeah, just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Like, Kate, what was it, John and Kate plus eight?
Yeah, her
she
haircut.
Was, oh, and then they do, like, those fucking talking heads they show on The Soup all the time, where she's, like, talking, and John's just, like, pretty much got a gun in his mouth.
Oh, yeah. He's like, why am I here?
And when people wonder why he became like a DJ and wore Ed Hardy shirts and like abandoned the family. Like, you see what he had to deal with. Like,
if you're married to a Karen, you know what's going on.
It's not right that
him.
He abandoned eight kids, but like, you kind of understand it at the same time.
I think he abandoned them so much. I think like...
He doesn't live with them.
No.
I'm sure he supports them with his DJing. John Gosling.
Listen, he had to sell all of his Ed Hardy t-shirts to pay those to make those payments,
God,
man.
Like, I don't know what's worse, the Ed Hardy stuff or like Affliction? Like,
ugh.
The guys who wear
all
that fake MMA
Marshall's
stuff?
Marshall's used to sell both of them, and they were the douchiest people.
Yeah, like Pauly D.
Pauly
D comes in and buys them, like people like that.
But people
right?
thought like, oh my God, an Ed Hardy shirt, it's only $49.99. I'm like, guys, that's got really shitty drawings
yeah,
on
it's
it.
Like,
it's a tiger with like a hat on.
Yeah, it's a tiger.
With rhinestones on its whiskers.
It's a tiger leaping out of a rose with a backwards like Fred Durst New York Yankees hat on. Like, that's Ed Hardy. It's fucking ridiculous.
But, anyway.
Yeah, so Angela is like just ripping Phyllis
mm-hmm.
apart. And Phyllis has a pile of paper with her. It's strategies on how to deal with very difficult people.
Yes.
That she Googled and printed out.
Good for you, Phyllis.
Yeah, so she's trying these strategies like, Angela, I'm sorry, like talking calmly and
yeah,
trying to reason.
Like, I'm sorry. And, I think you need, I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah, and Angela just gets even worse. She's like, well, you're stupid. That's why you don't understand.
Yes, she does. But I love how Michael comes over and he's like, what's up, booster seat? Like, he's got so many pet names yeah. for Angela.
Just like an angry little toddler. So Dwight and Andy start the competition. And
Dwight's eating power gel.
Yeah, yeah. Like the, and he whips it at Jim.
He does.
And this is the impetus for Jim's prank this episode. So he goes to Pam to prank Dwight, and she's like kind of not with it at first.
Yeah.
And then the bear horn goes off because Dwight makes a sale. And she's like, okay, let's do it. And she agrees. So Dwight is on the phone, and he gets an IM from the new system. What does it say? Dunder Mifflin system.
Oh, this is like.
It's AIM.
Like early days. So it just said Dunder Mifflin / sis.
Yeah. And Dwight gets the message from it. And Jim is feeding Pam lines to send to Dwight as
I just became self-aware. Yeah, I am your enemy.
I am here to destroy you. And Dwight asks if it's Jim. But then he sees Jim walking away to the break room. Yeah. And it just says, "What is a Jim?" And he's like, "It's not Jim doing this. He doesn't have a keyboard." Yeah. So there's a talking head where Dwight says, the system appears to be alive, but he's not scared because he's ready for it. I forget why he says.
He's been preparing for this.
Well, he's a guy with a bunker.
Didn't he say something about Terminator?
Yeah, he like mixed in some reference. I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
But I mean, all you need to know is he's not afraid. You know, this is a man who has preparations for things. It's a guy who walks into a room and looks for every viable exit.
Yes.
That is Dwight Schrute.
What can I use as a weapon should something happen?
Can I break off that bamboo shoot and stab somebody in the jugular with it? So Michael walks into the conference room where the women and Oscar are sitting. And he's wearing this tight-ass fucking
it's
silk
shirt.
Pink,
purple.
It's like fuchsia, magenta.
Yeah.
And he looks like fucking Siegfried and Roy. Something they would wear.
I think that just pronounced after Fun Run, now I'm noticing.
His body is
his
weird.
His shoulders and his chest are so big.
He's like me.
He's so skinny.
He's like me.
Yeah.
He's got a fucking upside down Dorito chip.
He does.
It's fucking these shoulders are their curse.
I hate them.
But Steve Carell's wearing this tight. You could tell he can't lift his arms a bit. Yeah. It's so tight. And Oscar just looks up and goes, "Is this why I'm here?" Because Michael just wants the women to tell him how the shirt looks. So Oscar leaves, and Kelly's trying to.
He's like, "How much weight can I lose in 7 hours?"
Yeah. And while this is going on, the IT guy is setting up the webcam for the meet or the party later.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And Jan calls, and she doesn't want to go, and she just tells him to go by himself. So she doesn't want to see these people. They terminate her.
But it's all your friends. She goes, "I was terminated."
She doesn't want any part of it. And I don't blame her.
No, I don't blame her at all.
So at this point, she tells him to go by himself. And we see Andy and Dwight now, and they keep being overtaken by the website.
Yeah.
It's like 390. Meredith is reading off the numbers. 396, 402, 412.
Yep.
And you can see Dwight starting to question himself. He's losing his
luster. Yeah, he's losing confidence, man.
So Michael then goes into the break room where Jim and Pam are being Jim and Pam. And
they're eating lunch.
I know, but they're like, "Hey, what's going on?"
No, they're not. They're
canoodling.
Eating lunch.
They're canoodling.
God.
But Michael walks in, and he offers them to go with him to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they at first think it's for them, as a couple. And it turns out Michael just wants one of them.
Yep.
And Pam says, "Girlfriend always wins. Jim, you go." So Jim pulls the short straw. Dwight now loses a sale on the phone, and he's cursing, "God damn it, you don't..."
Yeah.
Because the guy used
the
computer.
The guy used the website. Yeah. He's like, "I know you don't have to be filled until November, but..."
So he's angry and frustrated, and the computer IM comes back, and it taunts him.
Yes.
And so then we go back. Angela's freaking out on Phyllis again, and Phyllis's strategies have no effect. Angela is a hard nut to crack.
Yeah.
And she's also a hard ass.
Oh, hold on, sorry.
What you
about
got?
The binary code?
Mm-hmm.
How Dwight sends back, he's like, "All right, system, you read binary." And it was 011-1111.
You wrote down the whole
011-011. Okay, so I looked this up to see if this really was binary code or not. There's a lot of subreddits about this. Some people are saying it just means, "Why don't you go ESC, escape?"
Okay.
Then others are saying that it's, "Why don't you go F-O?" I think we could all assume that. But then, a computer scientist came on Reddit. He's like, "I'm a computer scientist."
That's what he said.
He literally said that. And he's like, he went through, the mathematical equation, how to break down binary code, which I understood nothing of.
Yeah.
And he's like, "It basically means nothing."
Oh, he's just
giving
numbers.
But I'm going to go with the F-O.
I want to say it's fuck off.
Yeah, that's what he's going for, at least.
And that's when Jim and Pam respond back, "Well, while you were typing that, I learned the information in every database in the world and mastered the violin and sold more papers."
Yeah.
And of course, Dwight's just like, "Ah, fuck!"
Dude, he's dying.
Yeah, he's just done. So
that's when Phyllis and Angela...
Yeah, they have their spat.
About the spoon?
That's right. She talks to her Forrest Gump.
Because Phyllis was like, "Angela, I want to understand what you're saying, but I can't when you speak to me like that." She goes... These are spoons. They're soft and round at the top and used to scoop things. We need forks with spears or daggers on top. And we need knives. And she has, like, hand motions and everything.
Talking to her like she's like...
I'm like, dude, I could see her sister doing this to me. Like, me trying to calm her down.
Oh, I have no doubt that this was a Thanksgiving in our past. Like, at all. I have no doubt that our sister went after you like that. So, Daryl shows up in the office with a ream of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And he heads back to the annex. And Kelly ordered a ream, and because she liked the way the website is designed, she just takes it and puts it in the little digital shopping cart and says, "Thanks for shopping at Dunder Mifflin." So Dwight runs back there, and he freaks out, and he's like, "You're going to let it win.
Yeah.
They're going to see. They're going to know." And like Daryl's like, "Why don't you step off and sell paper like a real man?"
Yeah, like, he's like, "Leave Miss Kapoor back here by alone or whatever."
Yeah, and he gets like all smooth with Kelly.
Yo, he does.
Yeah, he's pretty smooth. I guess for, you know, for Daryl.
But then he's like, "You still missing Ryan?" She's like, "Not so much these days."
"You still missing? Why didn't I try that when I was like 25? I'm still missing you." So Dwight then is at his desk, and he pulls out this little red box. And it turns out that they are leads that he stole from Staples when he left. So Mike comes out, gets Jim. They're leaving. And as Jim is saying goodbye to Pam, he's whispering something.
Mm-hmm.
And she sends Dwight a message from the computer about, "Oh, is it okay to use stolen leads from Staples?" And of course, Dwight's like, "Whoa!"
He's shaking.
He's like, "I can't believe it." No.
He shook.
So Dwight takes the lead over the computer, and Andy goes nuts with the bear horn. He's like, and that thing is.
He's lucky Angela was this nice to him.
And she just goes, "Give that to me." And he just hands it
like
to her.
Like a child.
Yeah. Here you go. Like, she's the mom of the office.
Exactly.
And he immediately gives it up. So we see Mike and Jim, they're in the car driving to New York, and Mike has green eggs and ham. And he goes, "Well, I wanted to get it, this is for Ryan, I wanted to get Oh, the Places You Will Go, but they were out."
They were out.
So like Mike says, like, "It's a really good book," you know, trying to talk to Jim.
Trying to play it up, yeah.
And he invites Jim and Pam for dinner with him and Jan. But like, Jim immediately changes the topic about where they're going.
He does. He's like, "Oh, I don't know. So you're going to tell me when we're close, right?"
So Mike pulls out the RSVP and he says, we're going to a club called Chat Room. And the password is password.
Oh,
and that's when Jim immediately starts like pulling over to turn around.
Yep.
He goes, "That's an online invite, not a real one." So we immediately go to Michael, who's on the phone with Ryan. And Ryan tells him to turn around and go back to Scranton.
Oh, my God.
And as they pull out, Michael, like, spikes green eggs and ham into the ground. It's like, fuck! He's, like, so angry because he thought he was a VIP.
Yeah.
So the workday is ending. I'd say the workday because Dwight beat the computer.
Oh, one other thing.
What happened?
When we were talking about after Michael, like, chucks green eggs and ham, he goes, "I can't believe that guy beat us out for the job."
Oh, yeah.
And Jim goes, "Oh, I actually withdrew from consideration, Mike." And Mike, thinking like, "Oh, yeah, okay, you got your feelings hurt. Yeah, I withdrew, too."
But it's Michael, like, technically did.
Well, Michael did after he was told, "You're not getting the job."
Yeah.
But, I mean, Ryan beat Karen, which, I mean, for me, I kind of can't believe that because Ryan's a douche.
Well, they wanted
but
another
he has
MBA.
An MBA. Yeah.
It was all about
but
that
But I was
background.
Like, so wait, Jim not only was like, "Hey, fuck you, Karen. I'm going to leave you in the city by yourself. I'm also going to withdraw my application for a job that could put me on the map."
Yeah.
And go back to Scranton and get a new girlfriend immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
Wow.
There was a thing on Twitter today. Well, somebody.
I saw.
About the worst TV couple. And I saw you
go in on Jim.
I use the show account.
Jim was. Okay. Yeah. So to date, Jim has been pretty douchey.
Yes. Oh God, without question. Although it might change by the
it
end
might.
Of this, by the end of our installment.
Here. It might.
So, God, where the fuck were we? Oh, okay. So the workday ends, and Dwight ends up beating the computer. He sold more reams of paper.
1,218 reams.
Yes, he outsold the computer.
The computer.
And Angela's still not impressed.
Yo, she's like, "I didn't tell you to do this for me."
Yes. So Angela goes to Pam and very loudly says, "I would like to have a relationship with a man. If you can hook me up with one of your friends."
Yep.
And Dwight is like crestfallen.
Oh my God, he's crushed.
Because she did it right in front of him.
On purpose.
So then like Pam sees it and sends him a message as the system that says, "You beat me. You are the superior being."
Yep.
And not even that could like make Dwight happy. He's just like, It looks like he's on the verge of tears. God. So now, this part. This is the second half of the episode.
Yes.
Michael and Jim come back, and Mike has new ideas for a party.
Yep.
And he does a talking head where he basically is just butthurt about Ryan.
Well, like, he realizes been he's there. Not important to Ryan.
Yeah, even though so he thinks Ryan is the greatest. Yeah.
But so he basically just wants to show Ryan up with a better party.
So he tells Angela list of demands. Pizza, like four different kinds of pizza.
Yeah, steak.
Steak, better lighting, something made of ice, someone famous, go-go dancers. He's going on this
beer, whole thing. Light beer.
Yeah, he just wants it to be better than Ryan's party, essentially, which is going to be at, you know, Club...
Whatever.
Club 54 in New York, whatever it is.
Studio 54, Kevin. Yeah,
I'm not... With the kids these days.
Dude, that was a club in the 70s.
I know. I wasn't a kid then either.
Neither was I.
I had a tail at that time, I believe.
Anyway. So
Andy goes to Dwight. He's like, you know, what about Angela? Because Andy's still horny.
Yeah.
After all these episodes. And Dwight, like, tries to ignore him or, like...
No, I love how he's like, Kelly. She's efficient.
Yeah, efficient.
That's how then he goes, what about her as a woman? And he goes, oh, I hadn't noticed. You didn't notice she was a woman?
Yeah. And then Dwight's like, well, you shouldn't date people you work with. And then he says you can go with Kelly. And of course, or
Toby.
Yeah, well, Andy's like, well, I work with Kelly. He goes, well, she's in the annex. It's different. You're also free to date Toby.
Yes.
So Michael orders pizza and he comes out to tell everybody that he got pizza from Alfredo's. Yep. And it starts this whole big thing where everybody's like, whoa, 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 what pizza are you talking about?
I love how he's like, I can't understand what all of you talk at the same time.
So Kevin and Oscar are the spokesmen.
Yes.
Where they say, well, there's Alfredo's Pizza Cafe versus Pizza by Alfredo's.
Yes.
And there's a different taste in the toppings and the overall taste of the pizza.
The quality of the ingredients. Papa John would be jumping on this.
You see that thing about Papa John?
I did.
He ate 40 pizzas
in 30 days.
And he looks it too. He's like all sweaty. Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm sure they took the worst picture, though. He's like bloated and
sweaty. He was doing the interview. And like, the thing is, he's wearing like the red shirt, but it's like a baseball shirt. It's not even the Papa John's. And
Poor guy.
Somebody said he looks like the guy who got bit by a zombie, but he's trying to hide it from the others. That's what he fucking looks like. Oh, God. Poor Papa John looks like shit.
40 pizzas in 30 days.
Yeah, it's like his hair is like coming out. Oh, it's fucking brutal. But
anyway.
Oh, so there's this whole pizza thing. And Mike said, well, I got pizza by Alfredo. And they're like, oh, fuck, no.
Yeah, everybody's like, it's like mayhem. Even Creed is like, there's a difference.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Everybody's like butter about it. And Kevin does a talking head where he shit talks it and says it's basically a circle of garbage.
A hot circle of garbage.
So
yep.
Tell me, since we've gone off on pizza diatribes many a time here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look into Pizza by Alfredo's and Alfredo's Pizza Cafe? Are these real locations?
So, there is an Alfredo's in Scranton.
Okay.
There is actually.
I've heard of it.
I probably had pasta.
Of course pasta you did. There.
Well, no, it's like a restaurant.
That was pre-keto, right?
Oh, yeah. God.
Well before the keto.
This is many, many years ago.
Yeah.
There's an Alfredo's Pizza Cafe. Alfredo's Pizza Cafe.
Well, that's the good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so they actually put over the local business. So fuck.
And then Pizza by Alfredo is the hot circle of garbage, as Kevin puts it.
Very nice. So then we come to a thing where Phyllis approaches Angelo, and each one of her fingers has a post-it note for the demands that Michael wants. And she's like, I can't do all this.
She's like, it's not okay. Like, you cannot expect me to do this. You can pick one,
doing the soft-spoken strategy. Yeah. And Angela gives her shit about it, so she crumples them all up and throws them in her face. And then she just does a quick talking head where she said, well, that shut her up. She's awesome.
Yes, Phyllis.
Andy now goes to Angela, and he's like trying to hit on her and ask her out, but she's too busy doing all this shit.
And then, I love Kevin's side eye, though.
Yeah, Kevin's like, the fuck?
Yeah. He just looks at the camera like, is this guy serious?
Yeah.
Like, this girl is on a fucking rampage today, and you won't find dinner and a movie in that box.
And she like goes, are you talking to me? What? Like, she gets up, she didn't hear a word of it. And then she just goes, I have a $65 budget to do A, X, Y, and Z. I got a scratch on my back that I haven't been able to get all day.
Yeah.
So everybody I work with is fucking incompetent. Like, she goes off kind of like,
really does.
You know, like that person is having a really bad day and you just hit that one sore spot and they just explode. Like, that's what happens with Angela and Andy right here. And so, okay. This is my least favorite part of the episode, the forthcoming thing that is about to happen, where a pizza boy arrives and he has like 8 pizzas,
a
stack. The
kid from Glee.
What's Glee? Oh,
Glee, the singing show.
I never watched that. I know what it is.
He's the kid in the wheelchair.
Wait, so hold on.
Yeah.
So Glee had a kid in a wheelchair who's not actually handicapped.
Oh, yeah. No, he's, like, actually a famous dancer. Like, he is so known for his
dancing. Why didn't they go out and get a wheelchair actor?
Because there's... Well, I'm sure this wasn't planned at the time, but there's actually
Was it going to be a thing where he overcomes
he has, like,
it and
dances? No, he has, like, a fantasy of him being able to dance, and he does the dance. See, I'm sure that wasn't planned when they were like... We're going to get a dancer for the handicap part.
Well, when I think of guys in wheelchairs, I always go back to that Frasier episode with Michael Keaton where he's the con man. And he's like turns to godliness and shit. Yeah. Oh, I fucking love that episode. That is an episode I can't accept someone not handicapped playing a handicap. But anyway, so the pizza boy arrives. And Michael comes out with a coupon. And Oh, look at that. You got a picture of him.
Yeah,
look at his ears.
Yeah.
His ears do not look like that
no.
on The Office.
No, that's
what he looks like that. Yeah, kind of grungy and like yeah. skanky.
Sorry, guys, I had to show Kevin because I know he knows
yeah.
the kid from Glee.
I've never watched that show,
but I know
you see
know
enough
the
ads
kid.
And shit like
yeah.
that. Because what's her name from Talladega Nights is in it. The mom, she's like a gym teacher.
Oh,
Jane Lynch.
Yes,
yes, she's very easy to recognize.
Yes,
nobody looks like that in Hollywood. So the pizza boy arrives. Michael has a coupon for half off.
Yeah.
And what are the rules?
He's like,
stipulations?
It's only for orders of two pizzas.
Yeah, Michael has like eight. So he won't accept it. And both of them are kind of rude to one another.
But
Michael's like pissed off from everything that's gone on. And
yeah.
this kid's just a punk.
Yeah, but Michael's like, did you really think I would spend $60 on pizza? And you just hear Oscar go, it's not pizza! It's just to piss him off even
and
more.
The best part is they no-sell it. Like, neither of them react to that. So that happens. And Michael refuses to pay.
Yeah.
And he goes, Dwight, take him into the conference room. And so Dwight takes the kid into the conference room
yeah.
and locks the door and stands guard.
And he's just basically having his weekly breakdown.
Yeah.
But all of the kids like, this is so stupid. You're so stupid. Michael's like, you don't even know what stupid is.
So but then we see Stanley go over to Oscar and Kevin. They're all looking up like kidnapping, uh-huh. jail time, accomplices.
Yeah.
Like if they're accomplices in a kidnapping. So Michael goes back in to the conference room to talk to the kid for a discount. Kid refuses to honor it. Like,
mm-hmm.
no, that's not how this works. So Michael calls him a snot-nosed punk hotshot. And you can tell at this point he's taking out his frustration on Ryan.
Oh my god, yeah.
He's like, oh, that little fucking young upstart punk. Like,
yeah.
He's saying that to this kid. And the kid calls him a loser.
Yeah.
And that's when Michael's like, just
well, Dwight's like, excuse me, what did you say?
Yeah.
And the kid just keeps saying it. And Michael's like,
loser.
Stop making him say it.
Michael like runs to his office all flustered. And Jim goes in there and like tells him to let the kid go.
Yeah.
And
Michael's like, this is kidnapping.
And Michael says, I'm not kidnapping. I'm keeping him here till I get what I want. And Jim goes, that's a hostage. So Michael calls up Alfredo's. And talks to the manager, tries to negotiate.
No, you can't even get through to the manager.
Oh, that's right. It was just like somebody at the yeah. counter. And he tries negotiating, and they just tell him, no, we're not going to honor your coupon. That's not
yep.
how it works. So Dwight's in the conference room doing like a scared straight routine on the
oh
kid.
Oh, my God.
Like freaking out. And that's when Angela comes in to hang decorations.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight's like looking at her all, you know, fun.
Yo.
What?
No, that part.
He's
like the kid's like, why are you looking at her like that? And he just goes, hey! And he walks out of the office. Or he walks out of the room. Like, just, hey!
So Kevin now enters the office to talk to Michael. He says they're all hungry and want to order good pizza while they wait for the hostage situation
with
to
the
end.
Bad pizza.
He calls it a hostage situation.
He does.
So everyone, now we come back and everybody's in the conference room gathered while the kid sits in the corner. Like, none of them are like, talk to him or like,
nope.
let him go. They just act like it's business as usual.
Yep.
And Andy wheels in an ice sculpture. And Angela's like, oh, my God, you got a thing of ice. It's like
yep.
two swans kissing or something.
Yep.
And he does a talking head where he just says, I stole it.
Yep. And poor Meredith here, because she's like, Angela's like, if I had another hour, it would have looked great. She's like, I think it looks great now. And Angela, scorned woman.
White trash or something?
Basically, she's like, and that's why you're not in charge, Meredith. Like, woof.
Well, at this point, Jim steals a pizza, and Pam gets some soda, and they go to the roof.
With Wegman soda.
Yeah, the Dr. W
yep.
and Mountain W.
I saw that.
Yes. So they talk about when they knew that they liked each other. Like, they're, like, getting all nostalgic. Like, when did you know? Oh, when did you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jim and Pam.
Oh, my God. Hee, hee, hoo, 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 hoo.
They just
did.
Make Pillsbury Doughboy
thank
noises.
God.
Like, hoo, 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 hoo. So the webcam starts up. The webinar. I don't know what you would call it. Like,
it's a video conference.
Yeah, that, yeah. But so anyway, the TV in the conference room, it's Don Porter from the Buffalo office, totally confused.
Oh my God.
This guy is fucking great. He's like young Chris Farley. And he's just looking in. He's like, is this thing on? Hello?
Tell me when to go. Yeah. Tell me when to go.
And then it just switches over to Ryan, who's like in, you know, this huge club. And he's all like excited. He's like, I'm going to go to my old boss, Michael Scott.
My hometown.
Yeah, Michael Scott in Scranton. And he introduces him. And Michael,
he's standing there cross-armed.
Yeah, looking down. The webcam switches to Mike. He just goes, one of my salesmen beat your computer. Take that, asshole. And it censors asshole, which is perfect.
And also the kid is in the background of the shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The hostage.
He's
in the background.
He's back there with a stack of pizzas. And as the cam switches back to Ryan on the computer, Kelly runs up and throws a pizza slice on the screen at his face.
But I love how, like, the picture is, like, cutting in and out, and you can tell, and he's like, what about that image, huh? It's all clear.
Yeah, he's like selling it. Oh. So, and then he's just like, Michael, what a prankster. He, like,
Then the kid runs up to the camera. He's like, if anybody's out there listening, I'm being held against my will. I'm a minor.
Yeah. So, we see Andy talking to Angela, and he's like, I don't even think he got two words out, and she goes, I won't date you. Like, she just, like, shoots him down hard. So, Andy is talking to Dwight. They're standing outside the men's room.
Yeah.
And Andy is, like, just, like, he's not even, just, it's just musing
like,
about
I,
Angela.
Should I
yeah.
go for it? Should I not? Am I actually interested? No.
And all we get is Dwight's, like, not even talking or, like, paying attention. He just opens the men's room and goes, you have 10 more seconds.
If you're going number one, you have 10 more seconds.
He's timing the delivery guy in the bathroom. So now Michael runs in as Dwight is about to scare the kid again. And it finally becomes real that he kidnapped a minor.
Yeah, like he finally understands.
Like it's like sinking in after like 3 hours. And he gets a call in his office. It's Ryan asking why a kid is on the webcam saying he's being held against his will.
But I love how Ryan's like, thanks for the shout out, Michael. Yeah.
He doesn't even reprimand him.
No.
So then Michael immediately hangs up on Ryan.
He's like, I can't hear you.
Yeah. And Michael tells Dwight to pay him and tip him and let him go. And
tip him generously, not more than 10%.
And to let him go, and whatever happens afterwards is in God's hands, I think he says. So Dwight gives the kid, I think, what, 50-cent tip or something like that?
No, I think he gave him, like, 67. So he gave him, like, a $4 tip.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
$3 and change,
so the kid walks out, flips off Mike, and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, whatever happens now, it's not in our hands. So Jim and Pam are up on the roof, and they toast to avoiding a felony charge.
Mm-hmm.
Andy setting up, like, phones. He's like, hello? And he hangs up and he hits, you know, a button. And it turns out he's singing Take a Chance on Me by ABBA. But on speakerphone is his a cappella group.
From college.
Yeah, who chime in and they're singing
take
with him.
Take a chance.
It's brutal. But
it really is.
So everyone is watching, it turns out. Like, everybody can hear it.
Ugh.
And, like, Angela gets up and she's like,
I have to go clean up after the party.
Yeah, she goes to clean up, but she, like, smiles.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that was sweet. So Andy, like the guy's on the phone, did she say yes, Andy? I can't hear. And he just like hangs up.
Give us something, man.
Yeah. So then Michael just tells Dwight, I'm in the mood for sushi. I want some New York sushi. So they drive Dwight's car to New York to the club that Ryan was at, but they're cleaning up.
Which is like a 2.5 hour drive.
Yeah,
it's not a 45 minute drive.
It's all, they're there at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Probably won't get home till 3.
Yeah.
So they get there and like, they're cleaning up.
They look like rats eating sushi off the plate.
So Michael like takes, the guy kicks them up. Michael grabs the plate and goes outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating the sushi on the hood of Dwight's car.
They have a full bottle of soy sauce, mind you.
Yes. Oh, they took the whole thing. And a guy like walks by and recognizes Mike from the webcam.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you're the guy from Scranton. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and Mike and Dwight just sit on the hood of the car and mock Ryan for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm Ryan.
Oh, I'm so hot.
Yeah, it was just like, that's the end of the episode. And what did you give this episode, Mayor Bear?
Okay, so up until that last scene where Michael and Dwight go to New York for no
fucking
reason.
That was weird.
Reason,
like, yeah, there's just like,
for no reason. But I did give it a 4.6. I laughed the entire time.
2.5. I gave it a 2.5. I did not like this episode.
Holy shit.
I was bored at times. I was just like,
See, I laughed, like, even though, like, the whole, like, no, what the fuck am I talking about? No.
You don't have to defend yourself. I don't
know.
No,
I just laughed the whole fucking time. I'm confusing this one in money, so
No, you're fine, you're fine. You know what bothered me, I think, most of all? Like, I was bored. I think that the Phyllis Angela stuff is stuff that happens, like, all the time.
Like, no, Phyllis usually doesn't try to stick up for herself.
Okay, Angela's a bitch. And I feel like they rely too heavily on the whole party theme. I feel like every other episode,
well,
there's like
some...
it's
called launch party.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like they rely way too often on Angela putting together a party and Michael having like these weird demands that he wants.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a crutch for the show. Like, oh, we don't have an idea. Let's do the party planning committee. And Angela's a bitch to everyone. And then Michael like comes in and he's a dick and that's
the
episode.
I really, really enjoyed... the part of this episode I really enjoyed, honestly,
probably the same one I enjoy,
was the prank.
Yes, the prank was
because
good.
It actually, like, as much as it did, like,
it fucked with him.
It fucked with him, but it also pushed him to do better.
Yeah, it was almost like motivation.
Yeah,
and it ended with Pam
being fucking funny.
Pam was human to him at the end too. Which
I just loved like goading him so hard, like, oh, while you were failing to make a sale, I did this, 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 and this. Played the violin, like mastered the violin, like. It's just so ridiculous that he believed it.
That was the best part, and
I loved it.
The thing with Michael and the pizza boy, which I would probably say is the main like crux of this episode.
The second half of the episode, I'd say.
Yeah, like the first half where like Michael wants to go to New York or whatever, like whatever.
Yeah,
that's like it wasn't that funny. Like the only thing that was funny was the sight gag with the shirt.
I think I really enjoyed Dwight more, like Dwight spiral into despair.
Yeah, well, yeah, because he went from the high of like defeating his nemesis to like the woman he loves.
Employee of the year, 13 months out of the last 12.
Yes,
okay,
and like from that high to the low of like the woman I care for doesn't. She wants another man, you know.
Yeah,
and then Andy's the one going after the guy he hates more than anything. So like the Dwight was the MVP of the episode, but like I didn't care for the whole pizza boy thing. I'm like. It's one of those things where Mike's a dick, the kid's
Mike
a dick.
Mike has his breakdown.
Yeah, they're both dicks to each other. Yeah. It's like...
I mean, I thought, like, okay, yeah, but then the way everybody else interacted because of it, I think that was needed. Like, we needed to see those side characters.
Oh, well, yeah, they did their job, but they're just side characters.
But the pizza bit was like, it's not pizza.
Oh, yeah, the pizza...
It's a hot circle
where
of garbage.
They rip apart Alfredo's... Pizza by Alfredo. They fuck with them. But, like, I don't know. I was just, like, bored watching this. Like,
no, I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it.
This one just did not fire for me. And the other thing is, like, I'm not even going to blame it on a bad mood.
Yeah.
I was actually, like, pretty geeked. I'm like, oh, man, you know, last week was pretty good. I enjoyed the episode.
No, I really enjoyed this. I laughed, like, literally, like I said, like, the whole time. I was laughing out loud while I was reviewing this.
Do you think there was much character stuff that was...
I think there was more so Dwight. We saw
it was all Dwight. There was nothing with Mike.
Also, we did see Daryl and Kelly again.
That was like 2 seconds.
Well, it's still 2 seconds is still development, dude.
I guess.
My God.
But
we see Daryl's a horny man for Kelly Kapoor.
Like, it's just kind of like, okay, Michael is like butthurt about Ryan.
Yeah.
And Jim and Pam do their Jim and Pam thing. And not that I'm complaining about that. Not that I'm complaining.
No.
You know why? Because. Like, it did give Dwight the spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, the last 3 episodes where Jim and Pam have almost been background players, fantastic.
Great.
I love it. Maybe I just don't like those characters, and seeing the other ones presented, like, I like.
Maybe.
Like, that's fine by me. Like, I have no problem with that. And I don't know. Like, I'm just going through my notes here, looking at this stuff. It's like, whatever.
No, I really enjoyed
The only things that really made me laugh out loud were like the prank stuff with Dwight and the computer. And then Andy shooting off the bear horn. I just wish this is one of those ones where we're talking about it and I want to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should like it.
Yeah.
But I just don't. It's just one of those. I don't know how to explain it otherwise. It's just, I watched it twice. And in depth, and the other one was like not a skim, but like I just watched it nonstop to see what it was like to do the whole thing through, and it's just like it just had a meh feeling the whole way.
I don't know. Like I said, I really, really enjoyed it. Maybe it's because the first time I watched it through, I just watched it through. Like, I didn't take notes the first time because I feel like you have to watch it.
That's what I do. Yeah,
you have to watch it all the way through the first time to say. I enjoyed that. It was kind of bored.
To get that baseline.
Yeah, so that when you go back and you look at it more critically and you're writing your notes and everything like that, you kind of already, you're not decided, but you know what spots
you know
what
to look for. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, if you notice, the first half of this episode probably took a lot longer to go through because I liked the stuff with the webcam, or not the webcam, the Dwight, the computer with Dwight and that.
Absolutely.
That stuff, and like Michael with the tight shirt and that. And then the second half, when it's just like they're putting together a party and have a party and Michael holds the guy hostage, it's like, I don't know. It's whatever.
No, I can understand that.
Everybody
has their own opinion, man.
You have anything else you want to add to this one?
I was just like, I think we touched on it during the episode, like Dwight's appearance and his interactions with Angela are so not Dwight because he's so desperate
to
try to get her back, and that's not usually him.
And we got some of that last week when they went around after the
mercy kill.
When they went around with the gift baskets, and he was like telling the people, "We miss you. We need you. We're not over you." Or
whatever. We're just not over you.
Forget it, Michael. Like he goes through all the stages of like breakup.
Grief,
So like we've been seeing a lot more of that, and there's more in the next episode, especially one scene that killed me. Fucking laughed my ass off.
Oh my god!
But Dwight is awesome, and like I said, he's the MVP of this episode.
Yeah.
Well, if there's nothing else you want to talk about, we can move on.
Let's move on. The next episode we have up is episode 4 called Money. We'll have that for you right after.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into the topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Thanks for joining us back here for the intermission portion of the show. This is the part of the show where we put ourselves over as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. So right now I'm going to tell you, we switch it up this week. What's going on at Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed. You Don't Know Billy Jack, number 9, finds Drew and Jordan, and they take their first look at Joshi in an all-action Dream Rush Rager. Joshi, I believe, is Japanese women's wrestling.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a new thing. Not a new thing, that's actually a very old thing, but... in a two-part Row 1, Seat 1, Ben interviews Brad Stutz and Grant Sawyer about their history in CWF Mid-Atlantic, and then, for the first time, discuss their separation from the promotion. On episode 2 of With This Ring, Ryan and Cindy continue going over their GWWE list with a look at bloodbaths. My favorite kind of wrestling match. When people are like... run the razor, they get blood. Well, I mean, if you gotta get you bloody, you know, like Steve Austin would do the blade job and cut himself and they bleed, you know. But sometimes some guys, it looks like they hit an artery, you know, and they just bleed a shit ton.
Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
On PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with 3 episodes of ECW TV from the summer of 1994. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Pop feed, littered with great content, offering tremendous shows like The Hard Traveling Fanboys, The Year in Pop, Laugh in Theater, DC for You, Marvel Age, and the Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast.
Wah, wah, wah.
And so much more. Subscribe today. The Pop Feed. And while you are at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in the opening round of, or the opening play-in round. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. And I'm getting behind a play-in game, or play-in round from last week. My Two Dads. Mm-hmm. I'm putting all the weight and fury I have.
Oh my God, into I know making you have.
My Two Dads have a good run in this tournament.
Yeah,
I
only love because that show. Of you.
I love that show, and I will do my best to make sure it moves on. Unless it faces something really, really good.
But yeah.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
There are so many polls this time around.
What we got going on this today?
Oh my God. So today, hold on.
No, she's going through, and she's trying to find them. Oh, you passed a bunch of things.
No, well, I was on two days ago.
Oh, my bad.
That's why.
Go for it.
So there's Arliss.
Arliss. No, Arliss. That was Alexander Knox from Batman.
Oh,
Robert Wool, he's a sports agent.
That was versus Greg the Bunny.
Greg the Bunny was an awesome show. Do you remember
Arliss
that show?
Arliss is winning.
Do you remember Greg the Bunny, though?
No.
That was the puppets and Eugene Levy and Seth Green. They had a...
Oh, remember? My God.
And it's the dumbest fucking inside joke me and my friend have. They had a count. Like the count from Sesame Street, and he was count. Oh my God, count blah. He would just be like blah. He'd just say blah. It's the dumbest. But like they wanted to revamp the show for like new viewers or for younger viewers, so they changed it to count eight. And he's like, "What is this count eight blah?"
Oh my God!
I don't know. It's like I say eight as eight because that's stupid.
Jesus.
Show. 20 years ago, Seth Green had a puppet show. But anyway.
Then we have Clueless versus Life with Bonnie. Clueless is winning.
Life with Bonnie was an okay sitcom.
Yeah, it was all right. Daria is beating Father Ted.
I don't know Father Ted, but I know Daria. Daria's all right.
Yeah, I like Daria. Ned and Stacy is beating the Oblongs.
I remember both those. Ned and Stacy was Thomas Hayden Church.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "Hey, how are you doing? This is the only range I have as an actor."
God. And that's about it. Oh, I'm sorry. This is one day ago. The
John Larroquette. That's
the one.
That's Dan Fielding from Night Court.
Oh,
he had his
God.
Own sitcom.
I love him. And it's like, you know.
I don't.
Sybil is being beat by the Norm Show.
Yes, Norm. Norm. I'm such a mark for Norm, man. The greatest stand-up comedian of any age.
You do love
him. Fucking love Norm.
On Unhappily Ever After is beating Boston Common.
I vaguely remember Boston Common.
Veronica's Closet is being beat by Duckman.
Duckman! Oh, do you remember Duckman?
Woo!
No,
I know that's DuckTales. I know that that's DuckTales.
Duckman was like this, I guess it was in the vein of like The Critic or The Simpsons. It was a cartoon,
okay.
And Jason Alexander was the voice of this duck. No?
That just sounds amazing. I don't remember it, but.
He'd be like, "What part of the chicken is the nugget?" Like, I don't know. It was a funny show. I used to watch Duckman. I liked it.
That's
they used
fantastic.
To put it, because it was on USA. They used to talk about it when I'd watch wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Back in the mid-90s as
gotcha.
A child. Okay. Also, be sure not to forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by Jon Crow, Polly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com this holiday season, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Finally, for information on joining our GWWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever project, visit our social media pages as ballots are now open and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Final ballots due 12/31/19. Bear, what you got?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, we're going to open up with season 3, episode 4.
Well, hold on.
Oh.
Before we do that, first of all, it's
season four,
episode 4.
Oh, my God.
But before that, we got to tell the people.
Where is my mind?
We have to tell the people.
We have to tell everybody where to hit us up.
Yes.
Hit us up on Twitter at BroSisPodcast.
We are very... Well, we're pretty active.
We've been trying to be, we're making a genuine effort of trying to be more active.
We have to find our spots, though.
Like, yeah.
we are a niche show,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, we can't just go on and, like, somebody talks about Brussels sprouts and be like, yo, I love Brussels sprouts. We could. It would be weird.
Yeah.
But, like, we got to pick our spots.
Yeah.
So come on and join us and give us some spots to pick.
Exactly.
So follow us at Bro Sis Podcast. And also, if you have feedback, where can
hit
you get
us up at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
One word.
One word. Brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
And we'll be happy to get back to you, read it on the air, talk about it on the air. We used to get emails.
Used to.
It's funny because
there was once a time where a man named Frankie used to send us emails.
Frankie and Mo and Mike and Billy. We got a few emails. It's funny because, like, usually that's something that would occur as the show goes on.
Yeah.
We got it in, like, our first, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of emails. But anyway. You know, that's just an option for those of you who like the show.
Yeah.
And as for now, we're going to do what now?
We're going to review season 4, episode 4. Money.
All right. So you take it away.
All right. So we open with a cold open. Michael walks into the office and Pam's like, good morning, Michael. He throws his coat at her. And then we find out that Michael gets his Netflix, which at this point is still DVDs being mailed to you.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before. We weren't sure.
Yeah. Sent to the office. And when things are slow throughout the day, he watches them. So Pam figures out, okay, he loves Meryl Streep. She knows this, which you're not a huge fan of Meryl, are you?
I hate Meryl Streep. I think she's the most overrated actress imaginable. I think she's better than Maggie Gyllenhaal, but not by much. Bruce, you're my only option for a normal life, or whatever the fuck she says.
That's so fucking hard to get through.
Katie Holmes, like, outclassed her by 50,000%.
That's saying something.
It really is.
She's like, Bruce, I love him. Okay. I'm going to go and marry Harvey Dent.
Harvey!
I'm going to marry Harvey Dent.
Fucking worst.
Even just, like, you know the cartoons where you used to be able to see, like, somebody's throat, like there's a bubble in their throat going up and down? That's what I imagine every time she speaks.
Oh, God. Fuck you, Maggie Gyllenhaal. The worst. I'm sorry. It's just like,
I'm pretty sure
the Dark Knight,
in like a Colgate commercial the other day.
What? Well, Luke Wilson,
like,
is.
She's like dropped, like she's barely the voice in something. She's like not even on the screen.
I just want to say, like, Maggie Gyllenhaal, like The Dark Knight is this amazing movie. It's great. She is like the weak link. It's like you're running a marathon.
It just wasn't the right part for her.
No, not even close. She fucking ruins the movie as far as I'm concerned. She's like a fucking mannequin. And her voice is just like, it always sounds like she's in distress.
Yeah.
It's like, this
Bruce,
is not the role
for... I'm going to marry Harvey Dent.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
I love him so much.
She goes between that
Harvey.
To like... Yeah, there's no middle ground in that movie. Oh, fuck. I'm so... Oh,
I loved her in Donnie Darko, though. You were great in Donnie Darko, Maggie.
Yeah, fuck you anyway.
So anyway, back to Meryl Streep. Michael really loves Meryl Streep. So she figures out, after Michael demands that she get Armani on the phone, that he's watching The Devil Wears Prada. And then one day he walks in and he formally apologizes to Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, you finished it. And he goes, Meryl Streep was the bad guy. Who would have seen that one coming? And then he says something like, I care deeply for you, Manushka. And then she figures out, oh my God, he's watching Million Dollar Baby, Masulka, or something like that. And she goes, he's going to try to kill me.
Is that the boxing movie?
Yeah, Hilary Swank killed by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah,
I thought he was her trainer. I never watched it. I just took pieces from things I saw on TV.
So he is her trainer.
Oh, okay.
But at the end, like, I guess in the prize fight, which I think we learned this in the Grief episode, actually. That's how I know it.
Oh.
Where they toss that ball around. And I think it was Pam, actually, who says, like, my aunt was a boxer.
Oh!
But she got hurt in the ring and she
That's
asked her trainer
is?
To kill her.
Yeah. That's what that is. Oh,
that's $1 million baby.
Oh, all right. Gotcha.
And he takes her off life support because she doesn't want to be on, like, a breathing machine. Yeah, Clint Eastwood fucking kills her.
Wow, I didn't know that's where that... I thought it was like a feel-good, like she wanted to... Oh, fuck. All right. Well, I have a totally different frame of reference.
We have to watch that now.
Oh,
so anyway, That's that. So then we open up and Jan and Michael are redesigning the condo.
And she's wearing, like, a jogging suit, like Ben Stiller and the Tenenbaums movie. Like, she looks like that.
Like, she's straight up a housewife.
But they're still out.
Oh, my God,
The boys came to play. Like, you know what I'm saying? God. Like, that job.
The garden is overgrown. Just say that. But, you know, she's redesigning his condo. He's getting new couches. They argue about the futon because she's only ever seen it flat. And Michael's like, how much is this going to cost? Like, da-da-da-da-da. And then Michael, like, she yells at him, like, you're always so worried about money. Da-da-da-da-da. And then Michael says, in the future, when he's on his yacht, he won't be thinking about money. He'll be thinking about his friends, his kids, his comedy albums, and but not money, because he obviously has a yacht, so he's doing pretty well. So then, again, they argue over the cost again.
Ryan calls,
and Jan's like, put him through! Like, as if she's still in charge. Mm-hmm. And Ryan explains how he had PowerPoint, which, this just makes me laugh now, sitting here in 2019, like, PowerPoint was installed on your computer last night. It's really important. I want everybody there using PowerPoint.
This took me back to high school and college, dude, when this was a new thing and everybody had to learn how to do it.
Holy
and
then shit.
After 20 minutes, you realize it's even more boring than just somebody giving a lecture. It's the fucking worst. PowerPoint.
It really is. Like, ooh, but you can spice it up with transitions. No, no. I don't want a honeycomb transition shape. Like, no. Oh, my. No, because PowerPoint was a big deal for me in college.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was for all of us.
Everything.
Yeah, you go up there, oh, I'm going to talk about Japanese internment camps in the 1940s. Jesus. And you have to find pictures and just put the little bullet. It's like so monotonous.
I did it for cults ones.
Cults?
Cult.
Like Manson?
Yeah, Manson, Jim Jones, like all of them. So imagine me having a picture of 900 dead corpses on the screen.
That's fucked up.
Well, they killed themselves in Jonestown.
I know, they drank the Kool-Aid.
Well, it was actually, never mind. Flavor-Aid. It's not Kool-Aid. Flavor-Aid. It was Flavor-Aid.
No wonder you don't hear about Flavor-Aid anymore.
Exactly. It gave Kool-Aid a really bad rap for a while because everybody thinks it's Kool-Aid, but it was Flavor-Aid.
Okay.
So anyway, I did a minor in like cult studies. So anyway,
no, you didn't.
What? That was part of my psychology minor that I have.
Really?
All
right. Anyway,
she doesn't know things about me, guys.
Well, I didn't know cult was a minor. I didn't know cults were a minor.
It was a focus.
Jesus
Christ.
Well, my focus was on literature.
Hmm. Yeah.
I know, it's working out.
So anyway, back to our office review.
Yes.
it just brought me back because I was like, oh my God, yeah, PowerPoint's so important. What's the,
2007,
what,
man.
What is, like, customer service, the one person fucking department going to use PowerPoint for?
When you
What's Pam going to use PowerPoint for? What are the salesmen going to use PowerPoint for?
I don't know, maybe they will. Oscar uses it later in this episode.
Oscar does. Accounting, I can understand.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then Dwight receives a call at his desk, and Jim, of course, listens in. And Dwight is like, Dwight Schrute, Dunder Mifflin Paper. He's like, hold, please. And he brings out this, like, leather-bound book.
It's like a ledger. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, Guten Tag, Schrute Farms. This is Dwight speaking. Apparently, Dwight is running an inn out of his home on a farm.
Breakfast.
And he calls it agro-tourism. And I really, like, this part just tickled me a little bit. Jim's like, does the Department of Health know about this? And Dwight's like, I'm not telling you. Permits are pending. Like, that just made me giggle so hard. But Pam overhears this, obviously, and she calls the number that she finds on TripAdvisor. And Dwight's like, this isn't funny. She goes, it says on TripAdvisor, like, you offer blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he, like, freaks out. He, like, almost, he takes, like, short, shallow breath. And in the talking head, he's like, TripAdvisor is the lifeblood of agritourism.
Make or break it.
Yeah, it totally killed the Stock Inn, which was an adorable little asparagus farm.
Stock Inn.
So, right?
That's awesome.
So then Dwight gets back on the phone. He's like, yes, so we do offer tours of the field and the barn. You might also be interested in Moses table making demonstration.
Yeah, he's talking on the phone with Pam from 5 feet away.
Yeah. Like it's a real, he's selling it.
Yeah, like it's a real customer.
Yeah. So then Jan and Michael, we find out, sold their cars. And then they got one lease because, you know, it's economically better. But Jan is selfish and she always takes it because he's like, hey, I need the car tonight. She's like, no, I'm going to yoga.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Porsche.
It's a Porsche.
It's a Porsche now.
That's awesome.
It's a tiny, tiny, tiny little Porsche. So then we see Dwight and Angela in the parking lot and they are returning items that each other left at their homes. And I love how Angela has a sleeping cardigan.
Yes, yeah, so he's like, here's your nighttime cardigan, your sleeping cardigan.
Yeah, a sleep apnea mask. But she's so tiny and she has sleep apnea.
Yeah, we know people with sleep apnea.
Yeah, it's nothing to mess with.
It's a horrible disease.
Yeah, it is.
For the cure. Oh, brutal.
Celebrity pro-am. So anyway, she goes, I'm missing my cherub figurine. And Dwight said, no, when I remember, it was not there because I was scrubbing my room of memories.
Yeah, well, it's like butthurt poetry.
Yeah.
It's so great.
But Dwight's like, yeah, no, I'm happy about the breakup. You know, I can finally sow my wild oats in the Shroop family. When a guy has sex with the member of the opposite sex, his parents leave a bag of wild oats on his front porch. So I can make oatmeal with them. I can plant them. Really do anything.
All I could think of was like fucking Coming to America when James Earl Jones is like, yes, he's sowing his royal oats.
Yep.
Royal oats.
Yep. So then Kevin is leaving the office and he stands in front of everybody and asks everybody to come to his gig.
Battle of the Band.
Yes. Whoa! They have an applause meter.
Yes.
And he wants them to clap for Scrantonicity 2, not Scrantonicity, because he is no longer in that band. He asks Michael if he's able to make it, and Michael explains that he has a thing. So, of course, Jim and Pam use this opportunity
such
to say,
dicks.
Hey, do you want to have dinner tonight? We were hoping we could come over. We only have tonight free, and we wanted to spend it with you.
Michael's reaction is great.
He's so upset. Like, he's torn. He's like, God damn it.
Yeah, he's, like, really mad.
Yeah, he is. So then Michael's like, oh, well, I have plans tonight. And they're like, oh, what is it? And he goes, it's a secret. You wouldn't understand. So then the camera crew creepily
follows him.
Follows him.
Just like they did Jim
and
Pam.
Yeah, as Michael gets on a bus, because remember, Jan took the Porsche to yoga. Excuse me. He gets off the bus, and we find out that he's working at a call center selling weight loss pills.
Which, yeah.
He's so upset. Like, he's, like, slouched down in his little, like, 3x3 cubicle, and they fucking go over and bum rush him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the camera, like, what's the word I'm looking for? An onslaught, an ambush. It's an ambush.
They totally ambush him. Yeah. Because, again, they followed him while he rode a bus.
Yeah, he didn't know they were coming.
He had no idea they were following him.
The thing is, like, they're coming from outside the building, and you can hear his voice as he's doing the sales call. Does he keep the mic on?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. But like,
or maybe they have the boom stick or whatever.
They were, like, two floors down.
I don't know, dude. I don't know, man.
Anyway.
But anyway, so then we see Jim and Pam as they're discussing how they've always heard about Shroop Farms, mm-hmm. but they didn't really believe it until now. They're pulling up, they're driving up, and they're making jokes like, oh, the Beats Motel, Radish Inn. And then
the puns are okay.
Yeah, the puns were pretty funny. Then we just see Cousin Moe's running alongside the car up the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, we see him, like, he cuts across the yard, and we see Dwight on a rocking chair on the front porch, waving him in.
Moe's looks, oh, God, like an Amish. Like,
yeah, he looks Amish.
He has the beard, and he's wearing, like, I'm trying to think of a way to describe these clothes.
Like, overall, like a dingy gray brown shirt.
Like, hillbilly.
Yeah.
Like, the perfect stereotype of a, I mean, I know in the Scranton area there are certain people who maybe live out in the cornfields and they come out like children of the corn and they're a little sketchy, to put it mildly. There are some people
in
the outlying
folks.
There's some scary folks in the outlying area, and I guess it's kind of true to the area.
I guess.
That there are like these backwoods kind of people, like Moe's and Dwight.
I guess.
But the thing is, when he's running across the field, though, is that he has a smile the whole time.
Yes!
Like, he's almost like he's like, what is this contraption they're in? Like, he's fucking
the
funny.
The wheels are so round. Yeah, like,
it's a great thing.
So we cut after we see Dwight waving us in, and we see Michael, he's doing, like, an interview with the camera saying, like, oh, well, I love sales so much, this is a hobby, because I love sales. My second job is my hobby. And so then we go back, and Dwight is going over kind of what's available at Shroop Farms.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's telling them, like, an itinerary where they can,
like,
stay.
Well, there's three rooms with three different themes. The themes are America, irrigation, and nighttime. And immediately Pan's like, irrigation. I can only imagine what nighttime is, though.
Just a black room, like, right in the office.
What the fuck? So, he's like, do you guys require anything else? And, of course, Jim, trying to be an asshole, says, a bedtime story, Harry Potter. So then Dwight's like, no, you're not getting that. Sorry.
Come on.
Mose! Get the bags! And so they go up to this room, the irrigation room. Has, and I might be using the wrong terms here, but they literally have like water pipes and
like spouts.
Okay, yeah, the water spigots and nozzles and spouts all over the room. The lamp is a nozzle, like a spigot. The fucking table that it's sitting on is a spigot. Like it's irrigation.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure. And
it's like something Mario would sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Like all these pipes and shit.
And Dwight tells them that they're wireless at Shroot Farms. And as soon as he finds out where Moe's hit all the wires, the power will be right back on. Like, what is this mythical creature that is Moe's? I need to know more.
Why did he take the wires?
Yeah, why did he take the wires? He was dressed in tape that said fear when Ryan was there.
That was so Ryan could face his fear.
Exactly.
It was a
allegory. But, like, he runs next to the car.
Yeah, he's
like,
an odd bird.
He's an odd, odd bird. I need to know more about Moe's. So, then we see Michael's call center boss call a conference center or conference room meeting. And Michael turns the camera and he's like, these meetings are so useless.
Yeah.
And it's like,
His boss is hilarious, man.
He is.
This guy, I don't know where they got this guy with his hairy chest. His buttons on his shirt are unbuttoned down to his, like,
And he's like, we pay minimum wage versus commission.
He's got this,
everything's legal.
He looks like a guy.
Payments from the city.
He looks like he runs a sweatshop.
Yeah, 1,000%. He owns a Nike sweatshop somewhere. But, Michael, of course, is in the meeting. He's trying to be, like, the funny, cool guy.
Nice clown.
He's like, oh, real motivational. And his boss totally calls him out. He's like, all right, well, once you make a sale, maybe then you can be a smartass. And they announce there's a $50 bonus tonight for the person with the most sales. Mm-hmm. So now Jim and Pam are, there's kind of like a montage as Jim is talking over how this is their first like overnight trip away together.
Yep.
And how he thought it would be way more romantic, less manure. And we see like,
they're in a field.
They're in the field.
They're spreading manure.
They're in the kitchen making beet wine and like, I don't even know. It looks like a mallet. Like it looks like a mortar and pestle
smashing it
on like a massive scale. And like Dwight eats like the beets off a spoon and offers it to Pam. Like, dude. And then Moe's like takes the manure out of the wheelbarrow and throws it at Dwight and Dwight starts chasing it.
No, put the manure down, Moe's.
Do not throw that, Moe's. Again, I need to know more about Moe's.
Throwing shit at each other.
So then Michael ends up on the phone with Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Who ends up being Stanley, who realizes who it is. And Michael does a Spanish accent.
Yeah.
Your satellite TV. And then he's like, are you interested in satellite? And Stanley's like, Michael, I know it's you. I know your damn voice. And then they do a talking head via speakerphone.
Yeah, it's just the phone.
With Stanley. And he's like, listen, when I'm at home in my sweats with my red wine, watching my mystery stories, the last voice I want to hear is Michael Scott. Which I just love him.
Stanley's
mystery stories.
Yeah, and sweatpants. Yeah. Like, bizarre. I can't picture him in anything but like formal wear.
Yeah.
Like a suit.
Yeah.
And like, even when they go to, like, beach day, he's wearing, like, a polo and shit. Like,
he's
the
like
big
casual.
Fucking hat.
He's, like, business casual still.
Always.
So then, Michael ends up getting yelled at because basically he's like, listen, stick to the fucking script and you'll make your sales.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael's...
His boss also has a Froggy 101 bumper sticker on his desk, like Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing that out there.
It's pretty big in the area, man.
Yeah, it's huge.
So, Michael's like, listen, I'm going to do what I know how to do it. Don't try to correct me. Mm-hmm. This was really good. Thanks for
the I hope this works out this meeting.
Yeah. So we go, and it's bedtime at Shroot Farms,
yes.
And Jim and Pam are cuddling while Dwight is reading Harry Potter to them. And we kind of pan out, and we see Moe's in what I almost think is Jurassic
it
Park.
Is. Jurassic Park jammies.
It is.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park pajamas.
Yeah.
Adult-sized Jurassic Park pajamas.
And he's rocking.
He is rocking back and forth on the bed.
With his knees.
Staring at Pam. Yeah. Knees to chest.
Yeah.
Rocking back and forth, staring at Pam and Jim.
He looks like a rapist.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
He looks psychotic. It's amazing.
And like, but the thing is, like, Jim and Pam don't even, like, bat an eye at it almost.
Well, like, Pam, like, looks at him for a second. She's like, meh.
Yeah, like, they're just like, okay.
Like, he's weird, but.
He's harmless.
Yeah.
So
we
weird.
Hope.
So bizarre.
So then we see Vikram, who is the top salesman at the call center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who Michael's boss tries to get him to motivate. Be like, listen, Vikram outsells you every single night, dude. Mm-hmm. So Vikram has like this huge meal that he's about to eat. He's like got rice, eggplant, this, that. Like it looks like fucking egg rolls or some shit.
I don't know.
I'm sure it wasn't, but it looked like it.
Why are you like defensive? It could have been egg rolls.
It could have been.
I don't know what the fuck he was eating.
I don't know what kind of food it was, but that rice looked really good.
It did. It looked delicious.
But anyway, and he's like, oh, Michael, what are you having tonight? Peanut butter bar again? And Michael's like, vanilla crisp.
Yeah, he's got a power bar.
Yeah. And so then we see Michael now eating. He's over at Vikram's desk eating his
food. Housing the rice.
Yo. Tearing
like
it away.
He hasn't eaten in weeks.
Yeah. And Vikram explains to him, like, I was a doctor in my country. And Michael's like, oh, I wonder what I would have been in your country. He goes, this is your
no,
country.
No, he says in the homeland.
Oh, in the homeland. Yeah. He goes, this is your home.
Yeah.
And Michael is trying to say, like, yeah, but what did it cost to become a doctor? Like, a goat or
$40? Yeah, a donkey.
Like, my God. This whole scene just made me like, how is Vikram not punching him in the face?
Well, then Michael goes, I would have been chief of surgery or a cowboy.
And Vikram, like, but Vikram literally, like, he was about to eat and he stopped eating. He's just like, you need the job. You need the job. Don't punch him. So now,
I'd be a cowboy too.
Right?
I totally would have been a cowboy. No doubt about it.
Right? So now we're back at Shroot Farms. Now, we have to remember that Michael is working odd hours. So this
is like in the middle of the night.
When I watched it the first time through, I was like, why is Michael still like making phone calls and they're like in bed?
Yeah.
But he's working weird hours. So they just hear this like loud banging going on. And Pam's like, I'm going up there. And Jim's like, you're going out there? So she has a flashlight because remember, there's no power because all the wires are gone.
So weird.
And she sees, like, the other rooms, like the America room. And then she goes over to the window and she looks out. And Moe's is sitting in an outhouse with his pants down, the door open, and that
the door wind is banging.
Yeah. But she shines her flashlight in at Moe's and he just stares up at her. Like, and she's just like, what century are we in?
He's just sitting in an outhouse.
Listen, there used to be outhouses, but there's not anymore. Not in this area.
Like, yeah, that's something that's,
I want to make that clear.
We don't have the outhouse.
We do have indoor plumbing. So anyway, Mike is, again, the cool guy at the call center. All the young kids love him. He's talking about how Die Hard 1 versus Die Hard 4, like,
yeah.
And they're like, you should be a movie critic, man. And he's like, oh, I actually am writing a movie. It's a spy action movie. And the boss comes out of nowhere and he's like, oh, so what are we all so enthralled with? It must be something so captivating since you're all not working.
This guy in this scene
reminded
me, I think most people who have those jobs when you're younger and you want to dick off.
Yeah.
There's that one manager who's a total prick.
Yeah.
And I had a guy when I worked retail back in high school and college. Me and my friends, we'd be working all night doing carryouts, unloading trucks, like, and then there would be like 5 minutes of levity in the evening when there are no more customers, and we'd be jerking around in like the hardware department or something like that. And this motherfucker was like,
he would sniff it out.
He was like a shadow. He'd come around the corner, hey, what's going on back here, guys? And he was like such a fucking weasel. Like he had that weasel voice. Hey guys, did you straighten that aisle over there? And he'd be like always like super condescending and pricky.
Yeah.
And like, there's always that one guy you come across. And no matter what, like, you're just like, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
Like, I understand you're doing your job, but you're doing it in a way that's, like, really fucking dicky.
Yeah.
Like, I just hate it.
Okay. I was going to say, because as supervisor in a call center, I had to be this guy.
No, you do. But like, there's a way to do it.
Yeah, I would be like, hey, guys, like...
Come on.
Like, listen, I get it. Like,
it's boring,
we were so busy. I did Medicare during AEP, during annual enrollment period. So we had back-to-back calls. And people would be like, oh, well, I just got back from the bathroom like 2 minutes ago. I'm like... We're 100 calls in queue. That's 100 people waiting to talk to somebody. Jesus, like, Christ. I need you to go into available.
No more bathroom breaks, damn it.
No, I wasn't like that. But if you were gone for over 20 minutes, then we were like, listen, you might have to go to a doctor and get an excuse as to why you're in the bathroom for like,
oh, come on.
20 minutes at work.
I don't know. If you're squatting.
Daily?
If you're squatting and surfing, you know.
Well, and that's just it. Like, I'm paying you to take phone calls.
There were
literally times we were 500 calls in queue.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were Larry Figueroa. I think his name is Larry Figueroa
or something. Yeah, that was me. Being like, oh, so what's so captivating? Yeah, over
this guy's there? And like I said, the chest hair that's poofing out. This guy has money. I love him.
Oh my god,
he's so cool.
So anyway, then we go back. And we're at Shroot Farms again. And we hear this...
It's a moan.
It sounded like a whale sound. Yeah. Like almost like a white noise machine.
Yeah.
And Jim is now the one who has to go and see what's going on. Because Pam literally goes, your turn. Like as if it was a baby. Like, it's your turn. So he goes over and he sees Dwight's room. And he knocks on the door where the noise is coming from. And you just hear, did you have another nightmare? And it's Dwight, like, the camera goes in. Mm-hmm. Again, the camera is overnight with them at Dwight's house.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
It's fucking like, weird.
They're just hanging out in this dark house with no electricity.
Yeah. And the thing is, when they go into, when Jim, it's the camera's behind Jim as he enters Dwight's room. You see?
It, like, peeks around a corner. It's not fully in the room.
Tell me you saw the Van Halen poster.
Yes,
with
okay.
David Lee Roth, like, wow!
We do get a look at his room. He has like a blue ribbon on the wall for something. I just put 80s hair band.
That was Van Halen. That was David Lee Roth, man. That was awesome.
Okay. I couldn't figure out which one it was.
Dwight is still in 1984.
Oh my God, yes.
His car.
The glass. Sunglasses.
The Van Halen shit is great.
But so Dwight is like holding this cherub figurine.
Yes, the one that he told Angela.
And moaning, like sobbing. And Dwight's like, oh, I thought you were Mose. And Jim's like, Mose has nightmares. And Dwight goes, oh, yes, ever since the storm.
The storm.
What? What? I need to know more about Mose.
It's the way he says everything in like, that monotone.
Ever since the storm. Like, this storm, like, was Noah's flood. Yeah. Like,
and the thing is, like, Dwight is only illuminated by, like, an oil lamp.
Yeah.
It's like this flickering light in the corner.
I think Grandma used to have those down in her
basement. Yeah, totally. She still does.
Yeah.
We never lit them.
No.
That would have been horrible.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
So many. Like, that would have just been a heap of ashes. But, like, he's sitting there stroking this porcelain cherub, moaning, and, like, he goes... Is everything satisfactory with your stay, Jim?
And he's like, well, we heard some moaning and crying. And he goes, thank you for bringing that to the attention of the staff. We'll look into it in the morning. Like, what the fuck? This is like a good horror movie. Actually, somebody did piece together scenes.
Well, I hope they put this with like, Mike's Blair Witch scene.
No. Uh-huh. This was a different, like, a horror movie preview.
Oh, yeah.
And they made it all about Shroot's Farms. And it was like, My Cousin Mose was the name of it. I'll try to find the link and put it on the Twitter.
Yeah, we'll send it out.
Because it's freaking hilarious. But, so then we go back, and Michael is now just getting out of work. And all the employees are like, yo, Michael, let's go out for a beer.
Yeah.
And Jan rolls up, like, hot. She rolls in hot.
That Porsche.
And she's like, you need to drive. I had too much wine. And he goes, how's yoga? I didn't go.
Yeah,
why?
She gets really, like...
Yeah, he's like, why? And she goes, don't ask. Like, she's like...
I just didn't want to, okay?
Yeah, like, she gets jumps super down defensive. His throat.
Yeah.
And so Michael has to drive the Porsche home, which is so small, his coat is hanging out the door when he closes it.
Slams it in.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, she had too much wine. So she drove there.
Yes.
Thinking he was at improv. Okay.
And it turns out this is at 1:30 in the morning,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we find that out later.
We'll find that in the next scene.
But, and so then we're at the office the next day, and Pam's slugging down coffee. She's yawning. Michael comes in. He's yawning. Dwight comes in. He's yawning. Everybody's fucking tired today. Yeah. And Jim is like, hey, Dwight, are you okay? And Dwight goes, better than you are or ever will be. Like, what the fuck? So then Ryan shows up, and he wants Michael to begin the introduction in the conference room meeting. And,
He comes in, he bursts in with a Red Bull. He's like, hey, everybody!
That's my favorite brand!
Yeah, good morning, Vietnam! Yeah, oh my God. It's like, comes in all fucking wired.
He is.
You gotta ride the bull sometimes, brah.
Oh my God. Okay, Creed Bratton. So, then then they're in the conference room, and he gives Michael an introduction, and Michael is supposed to make a speech on PowerPoint.
Which he never did,
and he's actually installing it on his computer. So Michael admits that, you know, he had a rough night, and you can ask his boss, and Ryan's like, I'm your boss. What the fuck? He's like, you're my boss here. And he admits that he has another job.
From between the hours of 5:30 and 1:30 a.m.
What I do between 5:30 p.m. and 1 a.m. are none of your business. And so then you just hear Kelly like, in the background. And Daryl's up there. And he's like, Daryl, what are you doing up here? This doesn't pertain to you. And Kelly's like, I invited him. That's why. And so, like, she, like, kisses it. Like, yeah. They make out. And Ryan is just, like, staring
As Daryl's walking out, it looks like Ryan's going to get in his face.
Yeah, he, like, puffs out his chest. And then at the last minute, he, like, looks down at the other side of his shirt and, like, wipes something off his suit jacket.
Hilarious.
He's such a pussy. Oh, my God. That's the only word for Ryan Howard. Mm-hmm. So
then he starts reaming up Michael.
Well, yeah. He's like, listen, quit the job or you're fired. So Michael, but he's like, he says something, I don't care whomever it is.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, you gotta get this up. You gotta learn PowerPoint so you can show it to whomever it pertains to or whatever.
That's what it was. I couldn't remember the exact phrasing. And Michael then corrects Ryan's grammar.
Yeah, with whoever.
On the use of whomever.
And he says it's whoever. And like Creed jumps in. Yeah, Michael's right. Whomever is a made up word used to trick students.
Right. And then Oscar's like, well, no, it is a real word, but I don't know the proper use. And did you catch this when Michael says?
Yes. Not a native speaker.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
So then Kevin, angry Malone.
Oh, my God. He has his arms crossed.
Yeah, he's like,
a toddler.
I know what the proper usage is, but I'm not telling anybody because you didn't go to see my band last night.
That's good continuity.
It was.
The people who fucked over Pam with her art show. I like that.
Exactly.
These people are dicks.
Right?
Although Meredith is injured, so I'm not going to hold it against her.
Oh, she's still partying. I know that bitch is still partying.
That bitch.
But Ryan's like, Kevin, do you really know the answer? And he's like, no. So then Pam does tell everybody the correct terminologies. Like, it's whomever when it's an object that you're describing and whoever when you're describing a noun, I think.
Subject. Or object and subject.
So then Toby clears up. Oh, well, that's the object. That's the subject. We're the indirect object. And Ryan is correct. And Michael literally turns to him and goes, anyone named Toby can take a letter opener into your skull.
Yeah, stab yourself in the skull. Because it goes from, like, all the people. Even Stanley got in on it. Like, well, the whomever. And, like, they're talking about it. And then Toby is, like, chimes in. And it turns super violent.
Oh, my God.
Stab yourself in the skull with a letter opener.
Oh, my God.
He fucking hates Toby.
He does.
Oh, it was awesome.
And Toby just, like, looks at him like, come on, Michael.
So great.
So Michael goes in and he says, like, he's never done this before. He's quitting
a job.
His second job.
Yeah.
And he's upset that he failed.
So,
but when he's telling his boss, Mr. Figaro or whatever, that he's quitting, he's like, you know, I hate to do this. And the guy's like, you're quitting? And he goes, I am. And he goes, all right, disinfect your headset. You're welcome back anytime.
You know what kills me about this part is that the guy, Michael says about they're what they sell, and the guy corrects them and says ephedrine.
Mm-hmm.
So ephedrine was...
It's like lipoephedrine.
It's banned.
Yeah.
In response to accumulating evidence of adverse effects and deaths related to ephedra, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration banned the sale of supplements containing ephedrine alkaloids in 2004. Ephedra extracts not containing ephedrine have not been banned.
It was like lipophedra or something like that.
It was something like that, but like I heard that.
It reminded me of like the Lipozine commercials.
When I heard ephedrine, I'm like, they used to sell like that shit like in 2000, like it was Y2 Stinger or shit, like, or Stacker 2.
Stacker
like that
2,
shit. And,
yeah.
And then that shit got taken off the market because it was banned.
Real quick. All the WWE divas used to
promote
it. Yeah,
you remember that.
I remember that.
But like when I heard that, I'm like, wait a second, this is 2007. That shit was like off the market.
Maybe that's why he was so like,
defensive.
We're a legit place. Like, you can check. I have a license with the city.
It's fucking awesome.
So, anyway, let's see, where was I?
Oh, Andy goes to Pam.
Oh, yes. Andy, he grossly checks out Angela walking, like, does the whole head going horizontal.
Basically,
and everything.
Everything but saying, do you got any fries with that shake?
Seriously. And he's asking Pam for help. And Pam, as she's describing why they wouldn't be a good couple, is like, oh, my God, maybe they would be a good couple. But I wouldn't want to do that to Angela or Dwight. Or Andy. Because it'd just be horrible all around. So then Michael approaches accounting.
Kevin, yeah.
And he goes up to Kevin and he asks him about gambling. And Kevin's like, yeah, I know how to gamble. And he literally asks for tips on, quote, boxer throwing a big fight. And it's like, Kevin's like, you go to the mob. He mouths it. You go to the mob for those things. And he's like, do you know anybody in the mob? And he's like, no. So then Michael literally just pivots and sits on Oscar's desk and he asks for another salary advance.
Yes.
Yo, that's some hard times.
That's when people realize things are wrong.
Yeah. So then Kelly's like, what plans do you have tonight, Daryl? Because when he was leaving the meeting earlier, she's like, I'll see you later, baby. And he's like, I have plans tonight. And so he's like, no, I'm renting Charlotte's Web with my daughter.
Yeah.
And she's like, listen, this is it. An ultimatum. Choose me or your daughter. And he goes, my daughter. And she like throws a bunch of papers off of his desk and shit, like goes crazy. And he's just like, that's cold, Kelly.
That's cold.
So then everybody is in the break room discussing Michael's poor money
problem.
Yeah,
because Oscar ran to everybody and was like, oh my God, Michael wants an advance on his pay. I think he's broke.
Yeah. Or was it Kevin?
Oh, it could have been either,
Could have been either one.
Didn't think about
that. It's not always Oscar whose loose lips are singing ships here.
Okay.
So, Michael walks in, and everybody's like, Michael, why did you have a second job? Because he also did announce that he had a second job.
Yes.
And, they're like, are you having money problems? And Michael goes, he's like, you and Jan should really talk about this. Michael's like, no, I'm not talking to Jan about this. Money problems are rude and unsexual.
Unsexual.
So then Daryl walks up and he confronts Kelly basically about being crazy. He's like, you need to access the uncrazy part of your brain if this is going to continue. And that she only wants to hook up when Ryan's around and he gets so excited when he sees that little man popping up. And he's like, listen, just like stop being crazy. Yeah. I'm here. Like, I want to do this.
He's honest
like,
with her.
Yeah. And she's like, Daryl Philbin is the most complicated man I've ever met. Who says exactly what they're thinking?
And that is, like, something I've come to find out is, like, her way of thinking is, like, how a lot of people think, which is means there's a lot of duplicitous and manipulative people in
the world. There's a lot of douchebags.
Oh, my God.
Both female and male.
Well, yeah, it does not discriminate due to gender, no.
Not at all. So, then we... This might be my favorite part.
Yeah.
So, I take that back, but one of my favorites.
It's up there. Just because Creed is so, like, out of his skull.
No. So, Creed is in the kitchen, and Michael walks in, and he's telling Michael, like, listen, there's a magic thing that can make this all go away. If you declare bankruptcy, all of your problems go away. And then we're in a talking head with Creed. He said, Creed Bratton never declared bankruptcy. Creed Bratton transfers its debt to William Charles Snyder.
And he holds up a fake ID.
He holds up a passport.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was a U.S. passport. with Creed's picture on it as William Charles Snyder. Awesome. So now this makes you think he's talking about himself in the third person both ways, and he has a U.S. passport with this man's name on it. What is real? Is he William Charles Snyder or is he Creed Bratton?
That's like when Jim called him out on the bird funeral.
Yeah.
Thing. You're not real,
You're
man.
You're not real, man. Like, what the fuck?
Awesome shit.
And he's like, and Michael's like, listen, like, you know, this isn't like Monopoly. Your problems can't all just go away. And he goes, of course life isn't like Monopoly. Nobody picks up get out of jail free cards. They cost thousands of dollars.
That's so true.
And that is what convinces Michael, like, huh, you're right.
Right, yeah.
Huh, that makes a lot of sense. And Michael's like, so it's basically like the witness protection program. And then we finally see that Oscar is behind the refrigerator at the same desk. And he's like, no, that is not the same. So Michael walks in front to the rest of the office and he just screams, I declare bankruptcy!
He just yells that.
And it cuts.
He literally declares bankruptcy.
Yeah, and he just cuts.
Yep.
So then we're in his office and he's cutting up his credit cards and Oscar walks in and he's like, Michael, I just want to make it clear. Like, you can't just say something and expect anything to happen. That doesn't work. And he goes, I didn't say it. I declared it. So Oscar really does genuinely take an interest and tries to help
him. Yeah, he's trying to help him. He's trying to be a nice guy. Even though all the shit Michael's done.
Oh my God, all the shit. Sexually assaulting Oscar. I'm just going to say that.
A burrow.
Yeah, a burrow. So Oscar does try to help. He tries to explain the credit card debt. And he's going through Michael's statements, and he's like, $125 to Amazon. Best of the Muppet Show on DVD.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
$1,200 on the Core Blaster Extreme. What is that?
Workout equipment.
It's a workout equipment that involves a stability ball, bars, leg attachments. It's fucking ridiculous. Apparently the Navy uses it.
The Marine Corps. That's why they call it the Core Master.
My God.
Yeah.
So then, this really made me mad when I connected the dots on this.
More continuity.
Scene.
See, I even put it in big letters.
Yes. So Angela walks up to her desk, and there's a box, and you see a little cat face sticking out of it. And there's a card, and Andy is gifting Angela a cat. And he says that he found it outside alone of Vance Refrigeration, which, coincidentally, where Dwight put his cat gift to Angela when he was trying to make up for Sprinkles that he named Garbage.
Garbage.
And it's a big fucking cat. Yeah, it's like half the size of Angela. And
they show that Andy like trying to shepherd it into a box. Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, Vance Refrigeration, that's garbage.
Yes, it's garbage.
From last week.
And Dwight, like, Angela smiles as she reads the card, and you just see a parallel line going from Angela to Andy, and Dwight is exactly in the middle.
And he gets
really, really upset. He, like, actually runs out of the office. Yeah. So,
well, at this point, right before he leaves the office, doesn't Jim read the review from their trip advisor from their stay? Or is that later?
I think that's later.
Oh, my bad.
It's all good. It's all good. So anyway,
Oscar might get Jan on the phone.
Yes. So, Oscar creates a PowerPoint slide explaining, like, this is like your mortgage and your car payment. This is like your credit card and your grocery bills. This bar, which is like double the size of both of the other ones, are things that you spend money on that no one will ever have a need for, ever. Which, Core Blaster Extreme.
Magic set. Multiple magic sets. Pro bass fishing equipment. This is fucking ridiculous.
Exactly. So then we go outside. Oh, and they do call Jan.
Yeah, she's on the line.
Well, no, Michael, at this point, Michael does not want to include Jan.
Oh,
that's and, right. Oscar's like, Jan knows, like, what's going on. She's smart. And Michael just looks down and goes, she poses. Like, wow! Okay, Michael. Wow. So at this point, then we see Dwight outside playing a sad song on his recorder by the dumpster. And Pam and Jim are, like, hugging each other, watching on from the warehouse.
Yeah, watching a sad man together.
Yeah, and they're like, aww. That's so sad. So
we're not sad because we're together.
Oh, God. So then they do try to cheer up Dwight by writing a really good review on TripAdvisor. And then we see a montage as they're reading, like, oh, you'll never want to leave your room. Like, it reminds you of a beet farm in Tuscany. Yeah. Like, they put all, a lot of really nice stuff in, but then we see, like, Dwight chasing Moe's around the house, the table-making demonstration, yeah. Dwight's wolf heads and trophies when they're talking about the architecture, the aroma of beets. Well, yeah, like, it's ridiculous. But then, so, like, he kind of gets cheered up by that. He's like, oh.
Does he? Because he's just like, thanks. He's, like, all withdrawn and distraught.
He is.
He's, like, not even, like, he's like, I mean, glad you enjoyed your stay.
Yeah, for a moment he's happier.
He turns into Eeyore.
Yeah, he does.
Thanks, Pooh Bear.
So then Oscar does call Jan.
Yes.
But Michael convinces Oscar that he should say, well, it could have been a lot worse, but Michael's fanciful footwork has reduced it to only being this bad.
Yeah.
So they're on the phone, and basically Jan's like, you're broke? I don't understand, Michael. Where did all your money go? This is so irresponsible of you. And Michael just looks out the window as she's chastising him, and he sees a train.
Yes.
And he just runs away.
That's so relatable, man.
This
whole scene, you don't know how many times in a life, well, you probably do if you're listening, because I think we all kind of come to that moment where, like,
loans.
Where you just go, I want to get in my car, and yeah. I want to drive until I run out of gas and start a new life over.
Yeah.
And that is what Michael does. He tries to do in this
and
moment.
Oscar's like, Jan, Michael left. She's like, is he coming back? I don't think so. And she's like, I'll be right there.
Yeah, and they show the camera, Michael's bolting across the street, running for this train.
Yep. So Michael, we see Michael trying to jump onto a moving train.
In his suit,
in his dress shoes. Oh. And he's like trying so hard, but he's just like, oh, I'll get the next car.
He doesn't want to do it. He's afraid he'll get dirty. Yeah.
So, we see Angela holding garbage, and she walks up to Andy and says, you may ask me to dinner. But she has restrictions.
Yes.
Which I have to call into question some of these. Oh, God, what the fuck did I write?
You can't read your
no
writing?
No foreign. Sorry, I forgot the end. No fancy, no foreign, no bars, no patios, no vegetables, which she's a vegetarian. And no seafood. And Dwight, this is like, he's literally heartbroken, and he runs out of the office. Mm. Jim finds him in the stairwell, moaning like a whale again. And Jim, he's like, Joy, did I ever tell you why I left Scranton? It was because of Pam being with Roy. He's like, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't concentrate. He's like, it was to the point where, like, food didn't even have taste anymore. And so he moved, and it was awful, and it felt awful. And he wouldn't wish it on his worst enemy, which includes Dwight. And Dwight is still, like, staring. He's facing the wall. And so Jim's just like, you know what? I tried. Yeah. He gets up and he walks away, and like a second afterwards, Dwight reaches out as if Jim was still there. I don't know if he was planning to like slap him in the chest.
It's for a hug.
Yeah, something. Like he was trying to show like he was appreciative of him, of his talk. And Jim walks right into the office, lays a big old kiss on Pam.
Very inappropriate. They got a memo about that
last
week. They
did get a memo about it. And Pam and Jim are just smiling, and she's like, oh, what do you want to do for dinner? And that's when he kisses her.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like Italian. I think we should try that new Italian place. So then in a talking head where neither of them can stop smiling, she's like, Jim is really passionate about Italian food. And Jim's like, yeah, I am really passionate about Italian food. In fact, I'm in love with Italian food.
Is that the first L word?
Yeah,
I think it is, right?
Because, like, before it was, they weren't even in a relationship. And he's like, I love you, Pam. And she's like, you don't know me outside of work, motherfucker.
He did say that?
I think so.
I don't recall that.
I believe so. I mean, I'll have to go back and check.
He hasn't said it to her yet.
Not to her. Like, I love you, or I'm in love with you.
Oh, okay.
I love you, but not I'm in love with you. There is a difference.
Is there?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
that's like the piece of minutia that people always use. Because
I can say, I love you, my brother.
Yeah.
But it would be way across the line to say,
so
I'm in
love with you, my
brother. So
you're saying
there's
a difference
brother.
Between having a... Like a certain sort of affection.
A loving feeling versus I am
romantic.
In love. Yes.
So in love is romantic.
Yes.
That's what you're telling me.
I have fallen in love with you. Not I have fallen in love with you.
I've fallen in love. What?
Exactly. Doesn't make sense.
Okay. All right. What the fuck is happening?
I'm on the debate team today, guys.
All right.
So anyway, Jan
speeds to
the office in her Porsche.
Flies it.
Yoke.
I thought there was going to be an accident.
I thought she was going to hit Oscar.
It's great.
But she gets out of the car, literally baseball throws
right to
the
Oscar
keys head. To Oscar. He's like, he went that way.
Did you see in the background?
No.
In the background, up against the pickup truck are Daryl and Kelly. And they're just, like, canoodling outside, like, right in broad daylight.
This is so amazing. And so Jan runs over to Michael, and Michael's singing Runaway Train. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Sitting in a train car.
I love that song so much. Love
Runaway
it.
Runaway train, never coming back.
Wrong way on a one-way track. See, every week there's a fucking song on this show, and that's this week's. I even joined in this time.
There we go. So Jan tries to, like, to talk sense to him. He's like, she's like, listen, Michael, like, your creditors are going to follow you no matter where you go electronically. Like, you can't just start a new life now. I know, right? And Jan kind of, like, she's like, listen, when I was at my lowest, my life was falling apart. She's like, my family still won't talk to me on advice of counsel. My friends were waiting for this to happen. You were the only one who was there for me.
It's a great moment.
It really was, because it shows that she's not just a psychotic person.
She's like, appreciative of Michael.
Yeah.
Like, she even actually...
And she actually says, like, you know, sometimes I do act like crazy.
She owns up to it, yeah.
Yeah.
She knows how she is.
She's like, but the guy who stood by my side is worth staying by. Yeah. She's like, where's the train taking us? And he's like, I think the conductor left. So, we get back, and Dwight is kind of back to his old shit. Like, he walks back in after Jim's talk. And he's like, hey, Dwight. And he just, like, he's like, I'm going to outsell you, motherfucker. Like, like a condescending, like, cocky douchebag.
Yeah, he's back.
Sentiment, essentially. So, Michael and Jan are walking away from the train. He goes, please don't sell your implants. And she's like, I know you like them, so I wasn't planning to. She's like, but they are uncomfortable. And he's like, yeah, but they're cute. They do hurt. Yeah, but they look great. And she's like, my nipples aren't as sensitive now. And he goes, they look cute, though. Like, he's just like, no, you're keeping them.
Michael Scott, tit man.
Seriously. And that's how we end the episode.
Yep, yep.
Now, what were your thoughts on this one, dude?
I loved this episode from start to finish. I thought it was funny. It had the funny, and it had really, like, I even made a note here. The last 10 minutes of this are, like, some of the most real that the show has ever been. Like, on so many levels, whether it was Dwight
Runaway
and Jim.
Train
the stuff with Michael, like, it's real. It's like,
because as outrageous as running to a train to try to get away is,
it's something we all want to do. Michael Scott is the guy who acts it out, though.
He just actually ran for the train.
He actually did what, like, all of us internalized.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing I like most, well, what's your grade? I give it a 4.5.
I give it 4.5 too.
Okay. The thing is, when I, like, we've talked about the characters over the past few weeks, mm-hmm. and that they seem like they are one-dimensional, like they have their eccentricity that's just cranked up all the way with lack of depth.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is the most real. And like we talk about the show Scrubs. Now the show Scrubs is another one where like Dr. Cox is the curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Bob Kelso is the lecherous sexual deviant. You got the
JD's the dreamer.
Yeah, the janitor is basically Creed in a jumpsuit. It's not a jumpsuit.
Oh but my God.
Like you've got all these characters and that are like also crazy, but because they work in a hospital and like every episode in there's life or death, like it's grounded in that reality and that seriousness.
Yeah.
That like they're able to wrap up each episode in a like a real way that
with like
hits
a little
you.
Lesson.
Yeah, and it hits you and you're like You don't just think of these people as caricatures. They're actual, like, you almost think of them as people. And this is the first time that The Office has done that for me, where the episode ended, I'm like, these are people. Mm-hmm. Like, when I say this was the most real one, whether you talk about the like, debt.
The
especially
debt,
at this,
breakup.
This is the year before the collapse. This is, like, prescient of that, you know what I mean? And
can you imagine what he was like in the recession?
Well, I look forward to that episode if that comes. And like, that's the thing is, like, it tackles a topic that I think touches 95% of Americans.
Yeah.
Especially people who would watch the show, let's say college students. And
yeah, anybody 20s. From like 21 to 35 right now,
yes.
I'd say.
Yeah, anybody who watches that show, like that's something that's real. It hits yeah. you every day. You look at your paycheck, you look at your fucking bank account, and you're like, where's the shit going?
Well,
what am I going to do? How am I going to make it work?
Yeah.
Like, that's something that's real.
Mm-hmm.
And like the way the characters handle it, well, Mike acts out the way a normal person wants to act out.
Yeah, and Jan is like the child. He's like the childhood reaction.
Yeah, and Jan is like the adult in the room. Yeah, he's like, we gotta face it. We're gonna do it together. Yeah. It's almost like the mom and dad who are gonna lose their house, and the one is like cracking, and the one wants to be strong for the kids. Like yeah. one of those things.
Wow.
And what?
That was.
Is that harsh? I don't know. I thought it made sense.
No, it makes sense. It's just like, wow, realistic thing.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah. like, I think another thing is that for the first time, because we've talked about buttoned up Jan or like off the kilter,
yeah.
drinking wine.
We either sleeping, see super professional Jan or absolutely psychotic
like
Jan.
Like sleeping on her face Jan.
Yeah.
And like, this is one where she actually tells Michael, like, I love you. I care about you.
Yeah.
We're going to do this together because you're a good man and I care about you. Like,
yeah.
That's shit that we don't get on this show.
No.
In all honesty. Because, like, we talk about Jim and Pam as the relationship and that. That is, like, Hollywood, like, they
no,
were meant for each other.
They're in the honeymoon
phase. Well, no, but I'm talking about, like, that's Hollywood, like, oh, they were meant to be.
Yeah.
And there's no problems in that, at least as it's been presented so far. Like, everything's, like, ducky and everything like that. Like, that's not a real relationship.
Not yet.
I'm just saying, for what we're seeing. Like, that's yeah. not the perfect representation of, like,
yeah.
two adults.
But
who
then
are
we mom. Also have the polar opposite of Ryan and Kelly.
Well, that is a dysfunctional. That's not a relationship.
Yeah.
That is two people using one another.
Yeah.
But, like, seeing the Jan Michael thing is, like, the most I've ever liked Michael Scott. It's the most I've ever liked Michael Scott
yeah.
on this show. And, like, it's the most I've liked Jan. And, like, I mean, we still haven't even gotten to, like, the Jim Dwight stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what before, I'm talking too much. I'm on a soapbox here. But what do you got? Like, what do you want to talk about?
So, I feel like to get to Michael jumping on a train, like, that whole, like, middle part there, like, after Shroot Farms, like, that whole morning, just, I felt like it took forever.
I didn't because I think the whomever debate was the highlight of the comedy of the episode. Like, I thought that was because it involved everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody had a line in that. Everybody was jumping in.
You just like physical
violence. Threat of violence towards
threat
Toby.
Of violence.
That shit was awesome. I'd stab him in
anybody
a letter.
Anybody named Toby go stab themselves in the skull with a letter opener.
But, like, it also made sense, though. Like, first of all, we saw Michael. Michael's doing everything he can. Getting another job. Hiding it from Jim. Like,
he's trying.
He's trying his best, and he's, like, trying to work two jobs.
Yeah.
And, like, he cracks and tells Ryan. And, like, he has to quit. Like, it makes sense. It's all part of the broader story. It's not as entertaining or as
yeah, classic. I think that's what it was. It was just...
It needed to be done, but it just... I don't know if you could have done it more flashy in a
yeah.
way. You know what I mean?
But that was really the only thing.
That's the only
for
downtime,
me.
Yeah.
But I really like the Shroot Farm stuff.
Yeah, the Shroot Farm.
Dude, that stuff had me rolling. I loved it, and I want more Moe's.
It almost feels like that was a different episode by the time you end
right?
this one.
Well, that's what I think that's what I mean.
The
is
mood
like,
change.
Yeah, like yeah. leaving Shroot Farms, and then we see the morning, and... Like that, it did have a purpose, but it did feel like disjointed for me. The end ramped up the comedy again. It was really good, and it was a really good ending. It was just like that little lull after such a funny portion with Shroot Farms to go into a lull. That was hard for me. And we got to see a kinder side of Jim.
Yeah, this is
I know
the first
we've
time.
Been
the
riding Jim
time.
Pretty hard, saying what a douche he was, but. He was there for Dwight, even if Dwight is his worst enemy.
Yeah, he was there, and, like, he was heartfelt.
Yeah, that was a genuine thing, because he's never... I'm sure he didn't tell Pam about all that.
No, that's why he went in there and, like, you know, swapped spit with her immediately. He's like, he's talking about her, and he's like, I love her so
yeah,
much, man.
Yeah, he's like, man, this is really getting me amped up.
Like, oh, God, that's gross. But, he's like, I'm amped up! Italian food! Gonna work off those carbs
oh,
later.
Oh, I just meant he was passionate.
Oh, passionate. So, like, I thought the call center stuff was funny.
Yeah.
Because it was seeing Michael as a peon, not the
exactly.
boss.
Exactly.
And the boss rode him hard.
So
the boss treated him kind of like he treats others. Yeah. Like when he said, hey, rookie, make a say, like, you know, doing that.
Yeah.
And the way Michael was trying to crack jokes and be the comedian, like Jim.
He's trying to be the cool. I almost put that, like, he's trying to be the Jim of the call center.
Yeah. It was, this episode was great. Yeah. It was awesome.
I love this episode.
By the end of it, I was just like, oh, I'm a fucking fan, man. This is, like I said,
Shrewd Farms, I'm sorry, but that fucking killed me.
It was good, but like, the thing that sticks with me is those last 10 minutes. There was awesome shit.
It was powerful.
Yeah, it was awesome shit. Like I said, it was just awesome.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Not on these episodes. I feel like Duff Goldman on, like, the spring baking championship when
he shoves an entire half of cake in his mouth.
Yeah, and he's like, I would have really just liked a little bit more cream in my tart. I'm like, I would have really just liked a little bit more Moe's backstory.
Are we going to get more Moe's? Are we going to get more?
We'll find out soon
enough. I'm assuming we have to. I can't imagine this is our only trip to the farm.
We'll find out soon enough, man.
All right.
But next week, we have season 4, episodes 5 and 6. Episode 5 is Local Ad.
No idea. Oh, and I do. I think I know that one.
Yep. Episode 6 is Branch Wars.
No clue. But I can't wait.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So that'll be almost the halfway point of season 4, right?
Yeah, because there's only 14 episodes.
Fuck yeah. We're rolling through, man.
Yes, we are.
We're coming up on 2020.
Woo! Yeah. Now, don't forget, guys, you can always reach out to us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast. Or hit us up at email, brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We love your feedback, love to interact with you. We like to post like pictures from the shows that we do, like the funny moments from each episode.
Absolutely. So
hit us up there, guys, and thank you again. Yeah. Share us around. Share
the show.
With your friends.
Tell people about us. We got some people doing that. We need more of you to do that.
Shout out to our first international listener.
Yeah, somebody in Britain.
Woo!
Or England. I don't know what they prefer to call the United Kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
I
love The Crown. The show The Crown is great.
Well, I thought you meant like the actual like monarch.
Oh, yeah.
What's The Crown?
Oh, it's a Netflix show.
Okay. Well, anyway, guys, share the show around. We would greatly appreciate it. We appreciate all the support and listens we've got thus far, and we look forward to doing even more. And, you know, get in contact with us. And until then, until next time.
Until next time, guys.
Catch you later.
Bye.
Somewhere